Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Eagle Hour. Bob Getty with you in the First Bank studio here in Hattiesburg this afternoon. Michael, Kelly, and Luke, all the guys are at Ramey Motors down in Purvis. We'll be going down there in a few minutes. Glad you're with us and glad you're tuned in for another edition of the Eagle Hour. Opening segment of the show today is always sponsored by our good buddies, Dickie's Barbecue Pit. What a great place to get ready for Southern Miss football. You can call them today and schedule them to cater your homecoming and schedule your first tailgate. Every time the Golden Eagles take the field in Hattiesburg, you can have the best tailgate on campus with Dickie's Barbecue. They're waiting for your call, so give them a call. We thank them for their support of the Eagle Hour. Going down to Ramey Motors momentarily, but first we want to bring our guest for the day on. Jim Kitchen was a tight end for the Golden Eagles from 1993 to 1997. Coach Jeff Bauer recruit and player. And Jim, we're glad to have you on our show. Welcome to the Eagle Hour.
Man, I appreciate it. I'll tell you, that music got me all fired up, and then your advertising for food got me hungry. So I'm fired up and hungry.
That's a good place to be, fired up and hungry,
yes,
right,
Jim? Absolutely.
All right, tight end, 93 to 97. You played for the legend, Coach Jeff Bauer. Great years to be a Golden Eagle.
It was a great time. We had a tough year, my true freshman year. That was the year we actually went 2-8-1. But in my opinion, it was somewhat of a blessing in disguise. Our class, which included Rob Brown, Marshant Kenny, Kendall Dunn, Carr Shannon, Heath Graham. You know, we after that 2-8-1 season, we didn't like that, and so we knew we needed to do a little bit extra to make sure that didn't happen again. And you're right, we rattled off a bunch of wins, and then capped it off in '97 with the Liberty Bowl win.
Jim, what made Jeff Bauer so successful and such an iconic coach?
He was very sincere. I felt like he was not only a coach, but he really cared about you as a person. I think that he was that way on the field and off the field. I also think he allowed his coaches to do their jobs. And we had some phenomenal assistant coaches from Coach Fobbs, Coach Butler, of course, John Thompson, Dave Womack. But, I mean, I think he realized that he surrounded himself with a lot of talent and gave them the liberty to coach the way they needed to coach. He recruited character, so the team was a bunch of good guys, and he was just a great guy. He is a great guy, and really enjoyed playing for him.
All right, Jim, I understand you ran into Kelly Sander, who for whatever reason, and I've failed to have a good explanation, is a part of this show. You ran into him on an airplane the other day, and before I let Kelly ask you a question, did he have his hands gripped to the seat in front of him, staring out the window looking for gremlins like was on the Twilight Zone?
Yeah. Well, I heard this very intelligent man talking behind me, talking to my wife. We were coming back from Nashville. And I was like, man, that sounds like a Southern Miss Golden Eagle. And lo and behold, it was Kelly. So anyway, yeah, he was coming back from Nashville from a fantasy football draft. So anyway, small world.
Kelly, say hello to Jim Kitchen.
Yeah, Bob. Hey, Jim, what's going on, babe?
Man, I'm just getting fired up for football season. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. I'll tell you, some of the most shocking words I heard were from your wife on the airplane when she said, you know, my husband is right in front of me.
It was a full flight. And then, everybody, hey, out there, it was a full flight. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, you're a Louisiana guy, and you know, Curly Hallman had you know, then coached at LSU a little bit later on, you know, the coach at Southern Miss, then went on to LSU. And this isn't necessarily about your playing days, but a lot of the guys that followed you from Louisiana, you all talked to each other as athletes. When Curly went to LSU, true or false, a lot of the guys from Southern Miss who kind of knew the situation were saying, man, don't go to LSU. That thing is not going to work out the way that they want it to. Yes?
Yeah, that's true. There were, you know, I grew up in Baton Rouge and went to Catholic High School. We put out quite a few good D1 players. Warwick Dunn is probably the most famous. He was my quarterback at Catholic High. But, yeah, Curly had a rough time. Coach Hallman had a rough time at LSU, and it was a bad environment there at those times. They actually had players that were telling me not to go to LSU. And then after I made the visit to Southern Miss, it was a no-brainer. But yeah, LSU's environment at that time was toxic, and it wasn't the place it is today.
All right. So going back to your playing, your wife's a very successful attorney, you know, a title attorney and real estate. And so you guys have got it going on. Where did you guys meet at Southern Miss?
No, sir. I'm gonna whisper this. She is a Louisiana Tech Bulldog, and she went to law. So there's a game that we don't quite agree on one time a year, but she went to LSU Law School, and I was actually living in New Orleans with Brad Hamilton, who played, he was a year older than us, played fullback at Southern Miss, and we lived in New Orleans together, and anyway, we did not meet at church. We met at another establishment, but my wife is 6'1". And I'm around 6'2", 6'3", depending on what program you're reading. And I looked around the establishment, and I was the tallest guy on the place, so I figured I had a chance. So that was that's what gave me the guts to go talk to her.
Jim, you're not saying they lie in programs about the size of players, are you?
Well, that's y'all's business. That's y'all's business.
I want to ask you this.
I want to ask you, Jim. Yeah, can I ask one more,
yeah,
Bob?
Yeah, go ahead.
Jim, and I want to, you talk to Southern Miss football fans who will say that in their recent memories, the Liberty Bowl game that you played in was probably from top to bottom, side to side, the best overall football game a Southern Miss team has ever played. That's arguable, of course. What do you think about what went right that day? It was nearly a flawless football game.
It really was, and I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. I'm completely biased. I think our 97 team was fantastic. And like you said, I think we peaked at the right time. But I also think we were so hungry that year. You know, the year before we had lost out on a bowl bid in that excruciating loss to Houston in that high-scoring shootout.
Mm, yes.
So we lost a chance to go to a bowl, and none of us had been to bowl game. And so we got to go to the Liberty Bowl, and we weren't satisfied with just going. And we were playing a team from the then Big East, Pittsburgh. And honestly, we had several events with those guys, and they were gigantic. Watching them on film, they were fast. They looked like a complete, big time football team. And, we were not content with just being there, and we actually had a small team fight earlier in the bowl week preparation. So most of the time during bowl weeks, teams are kind of taking it easy. We were actually scrapping earlier in bowl week. So we were not there to just be there. We were there to win. And first play of the game, I knew that it was going to go that way. We were faster. We were meaner, and obviously we had a better game plan. So it showed on the scoreboard.
Hey, Jim, before we hit the break, I'll go back to that Houston game the year before. I was actually there. That was like a double or triple overtime loss, as I recall. And tell me if I'm right, but the game ended on like the half-yard line.
It was crazy. I cannot remember. I don't know if I can't remember or if I choose not to remember. But I just remember it was one. If you were not a fan of either team, it was probably one of the best games you've ever watched.
Right.
And it was a tough one. It was actually encouraged our motto for my senior year, unfinished business. And there was no way we were going to lose to Houston that year.
Right. Hey, look, we've got a really short break. I'd like to hold you over. I've got one more question I'd like to ask you. The guys down there may have one as well. So are you good with hanging on through a three-minute break?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right, Jim Kitchen, former tight end for Jeff Bauer's Golden Eagles on the show. We're at Ramey Motors in Purvis. We're going to have plenty of time to talk to those guys as well. Going to continue our conversation with Jim right after this.
To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
And we're glad you are. Welcome back. We're at Ramey Motors in Purvis this afternoon. Going to be going down there. Dakota has joined the crew, and we're going to continue our conversation with Jim Kitchen. But before we do, Michael Mergins, you played that. You had that Rolling Stones music as our outro. I'm just curious. I know you're a musician. Did you see the extraordinarily poignant last picture of Charlie Watts that was published yesterday? Standing with his wife of 57 years, just a couple of weeks before his death.
Yes, yeah, and that's that speaks volumes. When you look at the Rolling Stones, the history of that band, that he's been in there. There was another drummer before him. I think he joined in 63, but having been married since 1964,
right.
Really not a whole lot of issues or publicity like Mick and Keith have had over the years.
Right.
That's remarkable.
Fair to say a real gentleman of rock and roll.
Yeah, very dapper, as everyone said, because he always was dressed nice. In fact, there was one story I heard where Mick was at a party. Actually, the entire band was at a party getting a little crazy, go figure. And Charlie was at the hotel sleeping, and Mick calls him up, a little inebriated, saying, "Where's my drummer?" So Charlie gets dressed in his most dapper outfit, and this is like 2 a.m. He goes down to the party, walks in, slaps Mick, and says, "Don't call me your drummer, you're my singer," and leaves. But he got dressed up and looked nice for the party, right. And then went back.
Well, it was a sad picture in one sense, but it was very poignant. It was it was quite a neat picture. I was curious to get your input. All right, Jim Kitchen is with us. Jim, I had one more question. I think Luke's got one for you, and then we're going to bring the guys from Ramey's in. But as a guy that played on that 97 team, and you were really there for a couple of really glorious years, what has it been like for you as a former Jeff Bauer player to watch the ups and downs of the football program since his departure?
It's been a roller coaster ride. It's you know, you have a lot of pride in your school, in your program, and you know, I feel like we set the bar really high. Actually, you know, I look back to the Favre days as kind of the, you know, what got me interested in Southern Miss and what my dad talked to me about Southern Miss and what gave Southern Miss a reputation with the Nasty Bunch and all that good stuff. And so I felt like, you know, the program has been climbing, and we had some pitfalls there. It hurts. It really does. I feel like the program is, you know, has done a lot of great things, but we've had some shortcomings. And I tell you, I'm really excited about Coach Hall and what you know, the enthusiasm that he brings. And I'm really looking forward to this year. But yeah, I think there's a bunch of us that are fired up for Coach Hall.
All right, guys, what's left you got for Mr. Kitchen?
One question, Jim. I'm just looking back at the offensive personnel on that 97 team. How did you even were able to touch the ball even once with Harold Shaw, Eric Booth, Sherrod Gideon, Todd Pinkston, Eddie Shaw, Kevin Hurd, and Brandon Francis? That is one of the greatest collections of offensive talent on one side of the ball.
Yeah, so in pregame, you know, they throw the ball to us in pregame. That was about the only time I touched the ball. My primary role was the I primarily just blocked for Harold and Booth. And I joke that the defenders would probably rather run into me than tackle Shaw. And those guys were beasts. But, you know, they also had Terry Hardy, who played in the NFL for a number of years, who he was an unbelievable tight end. So I was a small tight end. Coach Kett came in and moved me to H-back, put me in motion. So I was most of the time I was lead blocking and was fortunate enough to catch a few passes. That wasn't my game. I was just getting in the way of people for Harold and Booth.
But really, Jim, Coach Hall now says he's going to bring that tight end position back and make it sexy again. You know, the tight ends are going to be a lot more involved in the offense. How does that make you feel?
Well, I'm a little jealous. I would probably last maybe a half a play after three knee surgeries. But to see the tight end being used the way it is nowadays, I think I missed the boat on that. But you know, tight end is the most athletic guy on the team. I didn't know if y'all knew that.
I thought the punter was, but I'll believe you.
The punter's a close second, Luke. But yeah, they're gonna do some exciting things, and back then though, I was just getting in the way of people.
Well, it worked. You guys were awfully, awfully good, and we're grateful for the contribution that you and your teammates made to our program's proud history, and we thank you, Mr. Kitchen, for joining us on the Eagle Hour today.
Well, guys, I really enjoyed it. I'm really enthusiastic about the season. I'm fired up to see fans in the Rock, and I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you for all your support.
All right. Jim Kitchen, everybody, tied in for the Golden Eagles, 93-97 on that great 97 Conference USA championship team. And now we go back to Purvis for Kelly Sander. We have the greatest baseball player in the history of Purvis, Mississippi with you. Am I correct about that?
Just ask him. He's sitting right here. Dakota Baker,
a solid top 10, definitely not the
pulled his hamstring in a junior high bat. Was it a home run derby? Is that what it was? You pulled your hamstring?
No, I don't pull hammies. No. They were good and ready to roll for that. No, I just got beat by a freshman in the home run derby. That was hard enough.
That's what it was.
That was hard enough. Trust me. That was. Did y'all see where him and his brother were at state working out last week?
Yes,
they were. That's good to see.
And
that's
the future of Purvis High baseball is certainly.
It's looking good, man. That's very exciting to me. Very, very exciting.
Well, one of the things that's going on here at Ramey Motors, you guys have automobiles.
We do.
I mean, all you hear around is that none of the car lots have any inventory. You guys have plenty.
Nobody does, man. And I think we took a different approach. Everybody's going to auctions. Man, everything at auction is selling for $4,000 to $7,000 more than at MSRP at a new dealership. So we just do what we do. We go to Facebook. And basically, we just say, Luke's got his vehicle on there for sale, a white F-150, yada, yada, yada. Well, we'll go in there. And
I don't, by the way.
I know you don't. But, I mean,
Tony would get mad.
Yeah, Tony would get mad at you, probably. But we would just go in there and buy from individuals. There's no lot fees. I mean, we were buying people out of leases. I mean, that's just the best way we fought COVID, really, and high-priced vehicles at auction is we just went to Facebook. And we've got people trading them in on tractors and stuff like that right now just because they don't want the extra note. And that's been our go-to is Facebook.
Count them, Sander. 86 vehicles in inventory right now.
We have more than most and all you or new dealerships do on their entire lot. Courtesy Ford, we got them beat by a long shot right now.
You nearly had a record month last month.
For them,
in COVID.
Did. Absolutely.
Yeah, and with all this COVID.
And it's because everything's backed up and nobody, no production.
And this is our first month on Power Sports since COVID hit last year that we have actually run out of a lot of inventory. But now we did just get 5 truckloads of tractors in yesterday, so that's going to be huge for us. Hondas are just slowly trickling in. Now we got a lot of mowers, but mower season, you know, is dwindling down. We only got about 2 more months of that, and boats are all gone. We've sold out of boats.
But another Power Sport family is coming on board. here at
Suzuki. Yeah, yes. We do have Suzuki in the house. Their street bikes have been real good. I won't say what I called them last time. The street bikes.
Yes, we'll call it that.
Those have sold really well. Got a Hayabusa in yesterday, so that's real exciting. One of the fastest production motorcycles made, and everything's slowly coming back, y'all. But it's still going to be tough for another.
But when
months.
You pull up here at Ramey Motors, I mean, I always say it's the place where you get your man card. Man card displayed on the signs, because when you pull up here, of course, your logo right in the middle, but surrounded by Mahindra, Case, Honda, and Steel. I mean, it doesn't get much more just, I mean, it made me wanted to grunt, you know, when I walked up.
Like I said, we've added Suzuki and Husqvarna to it as well. And we have other ventures that we're discussing right now, but COVID has got that kind of on halt, but we're going to expand next year. There'll be some more brands you see come around January, February.
But I mean, good news for on the car front. We got Bob picked out. He can either get that 2020 Porsche Cayenne Turbo or the 2021 Cadillac Escalade. But you were telling us about a Supra over here.
I think Bob would look better in the Supra personally. It sounds like a real mad bumblebee, and it's quick, man. It's the any of those like race cars they got out there, the only thing, Bob, that would outrun at 0-60 is the Tesla I took you for a drive in.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And this car right here would run it down.
Who would have ever thought an electric car would be this quick as that car was?
Michael and I have video evidence of our faces whenever you punched it out there. We have a deal with the Purvis police where we wouldn't get pulled over.
Yeah, they actually, you know, really and truly, as many people as come right through here, they actually know, because they sit at the bottom of the hill or right here at this tire shop, and they pretty much know. They don't bother nobody coming and test driving, because what's the first thing you do when you get in a sports car and you're test driving? Oh, you
take off.
They need air sickness bags in them, though, in the back. Let me tell you right now.
And that was the slow one, y'all. That one, we had one with a bigger motor come in, but y'all were, it was way, I knew it wouldn't stay here long, but that one there would take your breath away.
Wow. It did. But a lot of trunks, a lot of Fords. Looking at, you got some Tacomas, got some Tundras, and there's a Ford Mustang GT out there now. I'm looking at.
Yep, long tube headers. I think they got that one's all. That one's got a little work done to it. It's pretty fun car to drive, but you know, I got the old dad over here, so I got to keep it classy.
And more manufacturers are getting out of making sedans.
That's, you know, who was it I was reading the other day? A lot of people are going straight electric. In 20 years, I guarantee you. I don't know if anybody have gasoline engines no more. Seriously.
I hear him grunting. Bob's grunting back at the studio.
And is that a Monte Carlo or Grand National sitting out there?
That is a Buick Grand National.
That's
a car.
Go check that out.
Go check it out.
All right, Dakota, stick around and talk sports with us. Is that good?
Yes, sir.
All right, Dakota's going to join the guys. They're at Ramey Motors down in Purvis. Going to talk Southern Miss Conference USA Sports, maybe a little NFL when we come back as well. Stay with us. The Eagle Hour is rolling along.
Southern Miss to the top.
Third segment of the Eagle Hour, sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. Tomorrow is the day to go have lunch. It's Catfish Friday at 4th Street Bar and Grill. And you can be sure, with football season around the corner, all the big games are going to be on the TVs throughout the bar. And a great place to enjoy the fall football season. 4th Street Bar and Grill. Ben Green from Southern Prohibition Brewery on the show tomorrow. J.D. Byers, play-by-play voice of South Alabama, joining us Monday. Lee Roberts will begin his weekly analysis of Southern Miss football, beginning with us last Tuesday. And the guys this afternoon, Dakota's now joined the crew down at Ramey Motors. And Kelly, we've got Ben Green from Southern Prohibition on. You brought by the new Southern Miss beers today. I drank all four of them before I came on the air. Is that what I was supposed to do?
And I drank mine too, Bob. have I told you that you're my friend?
Where's mine?
Really, seriously, Bob, you are such a good friend.
I thought the warble, Bob, was a technology connection, was a bad connection, but apparently
I think it's just Kelly. All right, Kelly, you got some news and sports stuff for us today?
Before we get to that, Dakota has found your car, Bob.
It is a 1987
Buick Regal Grand National Turbo.
45,000 original miles.
Really? Really?
That's all it's got.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you said what, 9,000 cash?
If you put a 2 in front of the 9, I think they can make that work. But if you come up here and drive it, I promise you.
It has 85 on the dash, but there's that's minimum.
I mean, that's second to third gear. We're out of there. So from then on, you just kind of wing
it. I'm going to have to come check that
out. I'll send you the link, Bob.
That's a beautiful car, man.
I'll send you the link and the link for financing. I'll send both of those to you.
Send those
9 days away from the opener.
Yep.
As Southern Miss heads to South Alabama next week, football coaches now really focusing on not necessarily their starters. Those have pretty much been determined. Now game prep starts actually a little bit early for the opener. It's interesting that Jim Kitchen was talking earlier in the program about Dave Womack, who was on the staff of Jeff Bauer at one time. Dave Womack is the father of South Alabama coach Kane Womack, who will be leading his Jaguar troops against the Golden Eagles when they play a week from Saturday. And so there's a lot of Southern Miss South Alabama ties there. Ticket sales continuing to go well. And again, based on the number of additional tickets that Southern Miss people are requesting, there's a chance that 25,000 seat stadium could sell out. Wouldn't that be something for both schools to begin the season? So 9 weeks,
they had a what they called competition day. It may have been Tuesday also, but our friend Charlie Luttrell from the Student Prince actually has there's been a few announcements about some positions. So Bridge Bourgeois has retained his starting kicking position, and Jack Tannehill's coming in from Oxford, you know, high school, about would he push him. Stein has been in some reps. It looks like Tykeem Doss has the edge over Bryson Mays for left tackle. Doss is a guy who is you, Kelly. You know, he's about 6'7", about 370 is what he is. But Bryson Mays was the guy that transferred in from West Virginia that tight with Trey Lowe.
The only difference is he's 6'7", 370. I'm 5'7", and
I was
370.
I was giving you that. Ty Keyes now has the advantage over Ty Webb, or as the backup quarterback. It looks like Daquan Bailey Brown, who recovered from a broken ankle, will probably be the Z receiver. And then the most important position on the team, Mason Hunt, is leading the punters. So that was kind of some takeaway. So we had to have some battles and some competition battles, and some of those are coming out.
And so we're, what, eight days away?
8 days.
So the enthusiasm, I think, in Dakota Baker from Ramey Motors, you talked about during the commercial break, how the enthusiasm and energy that Will Hall, if nothing else, is putting forth.
I'm glad to see that, because as I grew up as a young kid, The Rock was the place to be. It really was. Back when I was a kid, people didn't talk about State and Ole Miss like they do right now. It was Southern Miss. I mean, and just like I said, anybody, anytime, man. And back then, it was awesome to go and watch them kick people's butt on the daily, man. Even when Luke was there, man, that was the glory days to me. And I'm glad to see the excitement back, because people like me, I mean, look, I'm an Ole Miss fan, but I'm a Mississippi fan. I want Southern to do just as good as anybody. But, man, the energy he's bringing back this year, it's really good for me, because you hear people in town actually talking about it. All at the local diners, you hear people talking about the buzz, and it's good.
And with the first game of any season, coaches will always say it's just one game. But from a fan base standpoint, it's not just a game.
No, we need to set the tempo.
It sets the tempo for the table for the rest of the season, expectations. So, look, make no mistake, there's a lot of pressure on this coaching staff.
I mean, this is huge for the South Mississippi. This is big for us, man, because you go down there and you whip up on the Jags. I mean, and who do we got after that? That's kind of a
Grambling and then Troy.
Troy's tough, man. Yeah. I mean, to me, Troy is just not taken away from it. They're just people that just didn't make it to Alabama. I've watched Troy have some very
there are a lot of good football players that
didn't
make it.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And Troy's right there in Bama, man. So that's going to be another great test. And South Alabama's no pushover either. I think South Al's got a good team.
And remember, South Al came to The Rock last year and really kind of started.
What's scary about South Alabama is that we have the same secondary, and they have the same two receivers that almost put up 300 yards on us by themselves last year. Two guys, Baker and Wayne, put up, I think it was like 280 yards. And we got the same secondary, same guys back there. And then Jake Bentley comes in. He was at South Carolina. He was at Utah. He's going to be their starting quarterback. And Kane Womack is one of the best young defensive minds in the country. You know, and don't you feel, though, and both of you guys can share something about this, I guess, you know, there is one good thing about having a defensive coach as your head coach, because he kind of gets his offensive dude and hopefully just lets him. It doesn't happen that way in a lot of cases. But if you think, you know, with Will Hall, he's his own offensive coordinator. But when you get a guy who's a defensive specialist and he brings in his offensive guy, and South Al has Major Applewhite, you seem like it's not going to be, you know, Womack's version of Applewhite. It's going to be Applewhite's version of Applewhite. And so from the South Alabama side, it's almost better to have a defensive coach, you know, who brings in an offensive mind. If you're going to go with defensive from the beat, you know, from the top.
Yeah, I can go with that some. I mean, I do, but it's I don't know, man.
But there's the old adage too, that defense wins championships. Offense sells tickets.
Sure. There you go. I'm a firm believer in that statement.
And look at where Southern Miss is as far as needing, you know, the bolster in ticket sales, and
specifically
that has happened.
Coach Bauer was an offensive guy, right? But we ran more conservative offense and beefed up defense and special teams, and that's why we won.
Beefed up defense. My man, that was the defense of days, man. The Bowley brothers, man.
Yeah, we didn't ask Jim Kitchen this. I thought it was interesting. When you look at the 97 defense, I mean, how did he feel going against those linebackers and Surtain and those guys every day?
I mean, think
about what, like, pass scale is going on. And they're doing scale out there. They're doing 7-on-7. You got Gideon and Pinkston on Surtain and Jamar Alexander. And I mean, that's
when he
wild.
Was Surtain. You know, later on he became Surtain, you know, kind of like Anthony Dorsett. Tony Dorsett,
yeah.
And then became Dorsett once he went
to the
Cowboys.
I'm ready to see Ty Keyes, too. Ty Keyes, I'm ready to see that. I'm hoping he's opening day. That's going to bring them locals there.
He's not going to be.
He's not. But, I mean, it's going to be 2 years for him. I mean, Trey Lowe is going to be good. And that. But you're right. I mean, the fact that they've infused so much Mississippi. All right, let's get this, Dakota. I'm going to give you, or if you wanted to be our over and under guy, and we're not going to give solid numbers. We're going to do a half number. Give me an over under of wins and put us on the spot, and let's pick this for the season.
6.5.
6.5. Bob, over under.
Wins, is that what you said?
Wins.
Yeah, I'm right there, 6.5, maybe 7 if things turn out really good.
So you're going over? You going to take the over?
Yeah, I'm taking over 6.5. Yeah, I think maybe 7 wins is possible.
Dakota? Yeah, he's looking, I'm over like all day long on 6.5. Like, not even.
Would you have been over if I said 7.5?
No.
I'd have been.
I'm over, but I'm thinking around 7.5. That's me.
Because I got us at 8. No. I got us at 8.
7.5, I'm scratching my head. 6.5, I'm taking the over all day long. Yes.
Now everything would have to go right for 8 win season.
We can't slip up against the Mud Dogs or nobody. So.
Right. No. But I think that could happen.
Got to beat Alabama.
You know.
Yeah, we'll go down there.
Got to beat Bama to get that over. I mean, you just got to.
All right.
Because you're gonna lose to Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you beat Alabama and lose to everybody else, it's still been a great year. Right?
This place here may go to the ground if Alabama loses to Southern. Well,
hey, Dakota, real quick.
As long as
we're up against a break here, Dakota, but Michael sent me a picture of the Buick, right? Gorgeous. I'm up to 9,950.
Now, if you would like to finance the rest, Bob, I've got some great financing for antique cars. Uh-huh. Zero down, 12 months, same as cash.
And Kelly can co-sign for me?
Your tag's not
going to
be anything, Bob.
No, the tag will be
cheap. Kelly is actually.
They'll even give you popcorn and a bottled water and a shirt.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put you a lawnmower in the back of that thing, too.
Yeah, well, now we're talking. And you've got a Subaru down there, correct?
Hey, you want to have some fun, let's go get in a Subaru. Or the Supra. The Supra is even funner because you ain't gotta use that gear shifter. Just hit that automatic button and boom.
You get Birkenstock sandals, standard with the Subaru. Is that correct?
And a straw hat.
And a straw. We'll be back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Fourth segment of the Eagle Hour, sponsored by D1 and DBAT, state-of-the-art training facilities for athletes of every sport and kids for softball and baseball. They've got a holiday camp coming up here at the end of the month, so you want to check that out. Might want to get your child involved in that. And if you're an adult just looking to improve your game, whatever your favorite sport is, they've got a training program for you at D1 Training on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. All right, we're at Ramey Motors in Purvis. One more short segment to go. Guys, I heard y'all talking during the break. Is it true that we're approaching a weekend where Saturday we're actually going to see some college football?
Five games, in fact, Bob, on the slate, and some of the games are conference games, jumping right out of the gate. The Illini of Illinois taking on Nebraska, both of those teams now in the Big Ten. I remember Illinois has always been in the Big Ten, but I remember when Nebraska was in the Big Eight and then the Big 12. But, yeah, one of those Big Ten
games.
Part
of the Galactic Alliance now, or whatever they're going to call it.
Yeah, and there's four other ones, Luke, right?
Yeah, UConn, or Nebraska at Illinois at noon on Saturday, then UConn and at Fresno State, Hawaii at UCLA. That's interesting. They're playing in the Rose Bowl. Conference USA, UTEP, they're on the road at New Mexico State. That'll be at 8:30 Central Saturday night. And then Southern Utah takes on San Jose State.
And I wanted to get your opinion, Luke, about UTEP, because there's a lot of talk out of El Paso about that this team is going to be markedly improved. Now, I know the joke would be where they had nowhere to go but up anyway, but that they're going to be competitive in the West. I just think that's a stretch. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, Dimmel's been there. This is his third year, I think.
Right. It's a stretch.
No.
It's a stretch.
They'll lead the conference again in social media posts, but that's about it. I mean, they went 3-5 last year, but 19 was horrible. It was the 1-11 season. We've been there. We know what it feels like. But when you look at what they did last year, they beat Abilene Christian, they beat Monroe, and they beat Stephen F. Austin. They got blown out by UTSA. They didn't play for 3 weeks. We were one of those, and they lost their last game against North Texas. They looked pretty good against Charlotte midseason, but that was a season last year they never got any traction. Sure, yeah. I mean, I hope they're a little more for maybe they can knock somebody off, you know, that we need them to knock off. But we'll see what they do as they will take on New Mexico State, and that's a game you would think that they would win.
Well, you would think, but it'll be interesting to watch it anyway, just to see how good or not they are.
And technically, I guess this is still week zero. Next Wednesday, on September 1st, UAB will play Jacksonville State in Montgomery. I guess that's kind of a neutral site game, but UAB will open that season. But, yeah, Bob, we will have college football this weekend.
Well, that's great to hear. I have a question for you guys. One of you may be able to answer this. And I just learned this during the show. My wife and I are going to a concert in Alabama next month. And we just got a notification. And this is an outdoor concert that you're going to have to show proof of a vaccine to get in. Is there any talk of that with the South Alabama game? Has anybody heard anything of that nature? Is this a statewide mandate now in Alabama?
I have heard nothing. Nothing of the kind.
Considering that Alabama is leading the country in unvaccinated people, I'm not sure that would probably fly too much.
In regard to concerts, Live Nation, which promotes these shows, decided about a month ago that they were going to require for anything that they promote or that's under their billing. So that's probably what that is. It's Live Nation, not necessarily the... And they own a lot of venues nationwide, too, so that's been their
decision. I got you.
Their decision. A lot of bands not wanting to play because of that. They've pulled out just because of that requirement.
Well, you know, Jason Aldean was supposed to play in Jackson, Michael, and at the amphitheater in Brandon, and he pulled out because they wouldn't require vaccinations.
Yeah, it's one or the other with everybody. Everyone's got their opinion, and it's going to be, my gosh.
Right.
We got another long year ahead of us.
I think you're right.
Opening night for soccer tonight at 5 p.m. taking on Nickel State. Southern Miss is 5-0 in the last 5 years with an aggregate score of 13-1. Now, this is why it's important. two of their previous home openers earlier this year when they had the spring season and in 2019 were against the South Alabama Jaguars, which the Lady Eagles won both of those. They'll take on the Lady Colonels tonight from Nicholls State at 5 p.m. But soccer, yeah, they set the tempo of the spring with that defeat of South Alabama. So maybe a little prophecy there going on.
And we got two Southern Miss players going up, former Southern Miss players going up against each other in an NFL exhibition game.
Tomorrow night, yeah, it's going to be DeMichael Harris and the Indianapolis Colts against Jamie Collins and the Lions. Not sure if I would feel like DeMichael would. Not sure if Collins would play. You know, they know what they've gotten him. He's one of the leaders of that defense.
And we joke about the Bengals, but Joe Burrow is going to play. He has not taken a snap yet. But he made the decision to play in the final preseason game. It's scheduled to be against the Miami Dolphins before their opener. But he said he needed to feel the pressure of people that did not wish him well. You know, so that he can get used to game
well, well, it's always final, a good week question. In the NFL if you're going to get to play Cincinnati. So, you know, there are a lot of smiles on some faces in Miami.
Bob, here's the final question. Are you going to come down here and feel the turbocharge of this?
I'm thinking seriously about it. Yeah, I'm going to talk to Kelly
Regal,
about
1987.
Talk about Kelly about that co-signing on the financial deal. And if you're good,
I mean,
Kelly,
Kelly's got cash in his pocket selling the mansion at Cambridge.
That's exactly
the
right.
The bank called me the other day about that loan, and I just told them, I'm going to turn them down.
Again, hi, Kelly. Such is life at Cambridge. Oh, my goodness. All right. Thanks to Ramey Motors for having that bunch down. Can't imagine why, but we appreciate him doing it. And we'll be back with you tomorrow at 1. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. To the sea.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.